Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is 6:30 p.m., August 27, 2016, on the East Coast in the United States of America. Welcome, everyone, to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Some of you have been with us for all of the shows, or most of the shows, through the years. And for those who are just starting out, I'd like to explain that we're going to talk a little bit about the basic history, the basic fundamentals of the teaching of ACTA, the very ancient, actually the most ancient spiritual teachings that exists. And with us this evening, as he is every show, is the leader of this teaching, who is Sri Kaisji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sroshi Master. So we're very honored and pleased to have Sri Kaisji with us. Excuse me. Sri Kaisji, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks very much. And just I want to leave it open to you to where you would like to start, because sometimes we start on the history of the teaching or the history of your position as the Mahaji and the Living Sroshi Master, or sometimes we start on some of the basic aspects of the teaching. Is there any special place where you'd like to begin tonight?
Well, you know, sometimes I bring up the short definition, which if people look on the website, ACTA.com, and our description, we call ACTA the ancient science of Sahaji. So then we see the terms, they say it's foreign terms, if you will, if you're English, a foreign term, the words Sahaji, which means out-of-body experience, soul projection, travel, the movement of the inner self, the essence of the individual we call a soul, which is the light and sound within. One can experience this soul as a sound current. And also, it can be experienced as light. But that means it's one and the same as a spirit. We see the light. When we see the light, we're hearing the light. And when we hear the sound, we're actually hearing the light. So it's kind of a paradoxical situation. The twin aspects of this, of the spirit called, we call it Sarosha, which is the derivation of the term, the beginning term. If one will, its spelling is S-R-A-O-S-H-A, for those who are listening, obviously can't see. The two words in there, Sra and Sha. Sra is a higher Sanskrit word for sound, and Sha is a higher Sanskrit word for light. And the reason why we use higher Sanskrit, because it has a higher vibration than logical languages. Logic has an antithesis or an argumentative state, which people understand that in logic references, because you're trying to comprehend and understand. Essentially, I see a lot of New Agers turn that the word understand around now and stand under, which is true to extent, because they're standing under trying to sort things out logically. But ultimately, we're talking about the irony of that, speaking about an experience of the sound current. So we call ACTA an experiential path, because you can hear the sound current within. Explaining it is entirely difficult, but we point to it when we talk about in word forms. In word forms, we point to the srosha that one can hear with the inner ears, like a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear. It has various intonations, but mainly it usually comes as like a high electrical pitch. And for those this evening that may have heard it before but never had a tag on it or an explanation of what it is, sometimes that's a very profound experience where people will suddenly realize, oh, this sound current that I've been hearing is myself as my eternal soul. So I am a soul. It's not we have a soul. It's first person singular, not third person plural. We are soul. And when you speak from soul, we communicate from there once we understand that first person perception. That is not taught in religions. they talk about we have a soul, so it's something we become when we pass away instead of in the present moment. Eckhart Tolle talks about the eternal now. I don't think he has a patent on that term. We know it's always been an eternal now in reference to duration of eternity, and that's when we deal with that in our eternal self, the perpetual soul. We do believe that soul is eternal, and that parallels with a lot of religions. We do believe in a supreme deity that we call the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, but I have to caution the fact that Akshar is not a religion. We're not a religion, a New Age teaching, nor a cult. We don't align ourselves with New Age teachings. We don't go to the fairs where they have mainly Buddhists is what they are, even though a lot of the New Agers will deny that they have a symbology of the Buddhists in contemplation, really not meditation. Meditation is a derivative term or a misinterpretation, as I call it, of contemplation. Now, having said that, contemplation is a practice that we recommend for the members of ACTA, and there's no charge for that membership. We give away everything in terms of materials to the books are free, seminars are free, so we don't charge any money, and so we don't want that to be a drawback to membership. And the membership is taught that the one practice that we teach is a daily contemplation. Okay, it's not mandatory, but it's a high suggestion. We highly suggest that one will do this daily contemplation, 30 minutes per day, and then they'll get balance within their lives by this old track record of a ancient practice that is specifically and precisely about the teaching of ACTA. But again, it's not a mandate, but a recommendation. And then we know that the 30 minutes will measure out in 24 hours enough high vibration to get one through the day in terms of stamina and energy and what have you. You'll find that really the energy of life comes from the sarosha, the spirit within. And that's what animates our physical life is the soul. And they cannot define it in science and psychology and what have you. They take for granted the self of the individual. They don't really know what it is, but they know it exists. It's kind of like dancing around the maypole, but you're never the maypole. You're never really in the center. So we teach people to center themselves in this state of contemplation that we do on a daily basis. For when you listen to the sound current, you are at the very center of your being, all right? And that further goes into higher planes of consciousness that we also talk about in ACTA. The four lower planes are within as well as without. So there's kind of another paradox, if you will, that we give a lot of explanations for these things, and then it turns it into common language and not a mystery. Like a paradox would be really a mystery of not really comprehending. So we do our level best to be responsible to communicate and bridge with a proper language base that will point to, as Afra said, the experience as soul, the higher self in the sound current. Now, the four lower planes have three goals within them. Well, actually, they go into the higher planes also. Actually, the four lower planes are ascended with the self-realization of the fifth plane. And that means that once one arrives at the fifth plane, which is the first goal of ACTA and self-realization, and true self-realization. Now, I think people bandy around the idea of self-realization, but when we talk about self-realization in ACTA, we're talking about that experience of the sound current that I previously mentioned, and then you establish yourself in control on the fifth region. In other words, you're not diverted from there. Your riveted focus and attention can be placed there at any one time and not be distracted from there. So what happens is in the lower planes, there are so many distractions that people are not in control of their attention level. What we teach in ACTA is specifically that the attention is enhanced by that daily contemplation, and there more focus is placed upon the inner planes, and then you, one can travel by being able to see in Sahaji on the inner planes. And that's very important, because most of the time, people that are the non-ready soul are individuals that cannot accept the path after listening to the purport of myself as a living scripture master. And once they are not able to put their attention on it, they're not ready to be able to hear the words of the master, the simple words of the master, and the wisdom of the masters, all of the master also. Because that's the grand irony, is that we have a lot of wisdom, but it's only for the 1 out of 100, like the 1% understand the wisdom and then accept the path, because you can see that it's very simple by doing a daily practice of 30-minute contemplation, that's the simple practice. And then one will learn how to do sahaji within by closing the eyes and going within and realizing when one closes the eyes that there are in a spinning cycle on the inside. And then we learn how to see on the inside and somewhat slow that fast pace that is creating the hecticity, which was a William F. Buckley neologism 3 years ago. Very good word, the hecticity of our daily life, which really diverts one from their essence. And they lose oneself. And in this loss comes the wheel, if you will, a spinning wheel of the 84, reincarnation. So Akita does believe in karma and reincarnation, but we're not saddled there. We're not, in other words, we're not limited by that. We deal with karma and reincarnation as an illusion, a very strong illusion, but you can transcend it by the practice of sahaja. You get above the lower realms, which are vast. I mean, you're talking about 10 to the 63rd kilometers. It's actually measured that very vast 1 and 63 zeros. That's how distant the lower worlds are. Now, that would probably be not as many as science would predict in terms of the distances, but this is specific in terms of the science of Sarosha and the science of Sahaji, the ancient science of Sahaji called Akita. And therefore, one learns on the inner planes of this specificity of this grand science, this age-old and ancient times. It comes and goes in history. It's not always present. Sometimes it's lost in history. And we're fortunate now, today, that we can teach it publicly and not be necessarily persecuted, per se. A lot of the activists understand that essentially sometimes they feel persecuted because there's so much negativity in the lower worlds. It's kind of like that law of attraction that you talk about in the book, The Secret, but they don't really reveal the fact law of attraction is not only do you get positive effects, but you get negativity too, spinning into your center. So they don't really teach you how to feel negativity per se, but we do an act. And the best way is by doing the daily contemplation. And that means, again, we emphasize that a lot, and I've repeated it several times tonight because it's so very important. All right, so maybe you'd like to take us through a contemplation, Leslie, that you do so well. Thank you.
Of course, yes. So as Trikadashi just said, this is a practice that we perform daily, and the contemplation usually is at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes is just fine. If you want to go longer, that's up to you. But 30 minutes covers a 24-hour period. And what I mean by that, it's a scientific measurement of how long we get coverage, protection from spirit being in balance. Not that we won't have any of that if we miss contemplation by a few hours, but it starts to wane. The high strength of it is from contemplation to contemplation. So when we do the contemplation, it's pretty simple. We actually are going to sit in a chair, a comfortable chair, in a quiet place. Use earplugs if you need to. If there's traffic noise or something, refrigerator noise, whatever that might be disturbing you, distracting you. And we take a couple of deep breaths and we close our eyes. And when we do the contemplation, we either do one of two things. If we're on the path to Agata, we'll have our own mantra or spiritual word, if you would, that we can use to chant in the beginning. If not, you can also use the word hue, which is a very, very high vibrational word off the 10th plane, which actually is another name for God, and that's why the vibrations are so high. You might ask, why don't we just say God? Because God is as Sukadevi was talking earlier about the logic of day-to-day language, God is a logic term and doesn't carry the same vibration. So that's why we use the word hue, which is a higher Sanskrit term. So when we're doing that, then we can chant for a few moments or minutes, however long we're comfortable with it, put our attention on what's called either the tisratil, the spot right above the bridge of the nose between the eyes, and also we can use the crown chakra, which is known as soft spot, where babies, where the soul comes in when the babies are born. That the crown chakra is actually the highest chakra. So we can do either of those points. Now, what we want to do is after we take a few deep breaths, after we chant cue or our mantra for a few moments, then we're going to be silent, keep our attention on the crown chakra. And there are many different types of experiences that can occur. We can hear the light, which can often be heard as a high electrical sound, or it can be heard as music coming from the different planes. We can see a light, which is the light of spirit, also known as Sraosha, and we can see that as a white light or a yellow light from the higher planes, or we can see it in colors from what's called the lower planes, the planes of positive and negative, because the higher planes are those planes which are pure positive spirit. So there's no negativity and no opposites in the higher world. So what I'm going to do is take you through a brief experience of an exercise, and we're just going to chant to you for a moment or two and be silent for another moment or two, just so you can feel the upliftment from that chanting of you. So be in a comfortable position, close your eyes if you're following along, and take a deep breath or two to relax, and then just follow along. May the blessings be Baraka Bashar. And that's just a very short form of the spiritual exercise that we do. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about the contemplation exercises, on the website, akata.com, there is an introductory book written by Sri Padavchi. And in Chapter 3, it goes through some of the various contemplation methods, and you can of course download that book at no charge, just as we do not charge for anything, whether it's books, discourses, memberships, or any of the seminars that we hold. Sri Kadashi?
Yes, thank you, Leslie. I appreciate your help with that. The four definitions of ACTA, which I skirted over a bit, we were talking about it being a path, but also it's a way of teaching in science. I did mention science too. Those four definitions are the approbated ones by the living Sroshi Master at the present time. It's not a religion, philosophy, and I had said that before, nor is it a New Age teaching, albeit they'll try to categorize us that way. But we're saying that it isn't. It's just simply not. But it's one of those four: a pathway, teaching, or science. You can preface each one of those definitions, terms, with individual. So it's very important that we we actually address individuality, which is kind of rare sometimes in a sort of a collective society, if you will, to differentiate individuality, which we do extremely well, because that's what it's really about, is about the U.S. soul, each person that's listening into the show this evening, the importance of one's individuality and soul. And that is eternal. And then what we do physically, we learn how to work with the common sense, if you will, the common law about us, and we work in common to help our society sustain itself. So it's not like an iconoclastic individuality would be negative, but it is a matter of a compromise in our world to make social society workable and not against it per se. But it's not really a social teaching. Again, it's a spiritual science, definitely for that ready soul that may be exhausted in the lower worlds and wants to go home. And that's really what we do. We provide a direct route to the home and the essence of each individual as soul. So it's very important from that standpoint, because we provide that methodology that has been long sought. That means that the teaching of ACTA is really the only path, and it's the most direct route, albeit, and there's a lot of people get upset when they hear me say that, but there has to be a direct route somewhere. Not all roads lead to Rome, you see. And if they do, that doesn't mean they lead to heaven. I added that commentary last couple of weeks. I thought that was pretty funny, right? In terms of all roads might lead to Rome, but not to heaven, right?
That's true.
So that was, you heard that here first. I don't, maybe somebody said that in the past, but anyway. And then you had mentioned about, so aptly, in terms of the God is a logical language, but also I wanted to add that it's also an acronym for glimpse of the divine. That means that one gains what the second goal in ACTA is God realization, that one will experience God on the 12th plane, and then they are having this glimpse of the divine. It's not sustained, because that means that one would become the central God. That's not really what we talk about in ACTS. We are monotheistic from the standpoint that we believe in one God, but the polytheism is that people are a spark of God. So like there's many gods, but it all makes into one at some point in time, but not merging into one. I have to caution that language too, because people think you lose your consciousness. That's not true. One is conscious for eternally. They may think they're unconscious or play the game of unconsciousness for a while, but then they'll come out of that funk, if you will, because that's what really goes on in terms of immaturity and social immaturity, but not necessarily in soul. We talk about in ACTA that each individual has a knowingness. We know things on the inside, but sometimes we're not able to express our knowingness. In ACTA, we illuminate the knowingness, and we express from that state of knowingness very poignantly, which is very, very important, because you get to the level of when self-realization occurs on the fifth plane. There is the state of what is known as the Sat Guru, S-A-T-G-U-R-U, which is one word, Sat Guru. And they have the ability to be the teacher at that point. You have the voice, you make the connection, even logically, and also understand the higher Sanskrit terms. So it's a natural occurrence. It's not necessarily under the gun of some scholastic behavior that needs to be done, or you won't be tested per se. But it's a natural behavior of doing the daily practice of contemplation, and one will gain this ability quite naturally. So again, we address the knowingness that everyone has. Anybody on this call, even the unready soul, has a state of knowingness. Now, the perception outwardly sometimes is faulty, because they won't really relate to their knowingness in terms of the terminology. So that's a ready state that we talk about in ACTA, where the attention is such that the good karma that one has is at a fulcrum to take the next step into the higher planes. See, so that's why one has to have really fine karma, good karma, to get to the path of Akita initially. But once they step onto the path, and this is important information, they stop making karma. In other words, the karma ceases at that point. It stops. And then one now leads a life of dharma, working out their karma over a period of time. The actual time period in terms to mastery, generally speaking, in general policy, is about 30 years. But most of the primal karma is worked out in the first 2 years prior to the Arahata initiation, the second initiation. So we didn't talk about initiations, but each one of these planes we're talking about has an initiation level to show that there's progress and to kind of give a pat on the back that you're doing well and things of that nature, because that's important. It's important that one progress and they're able to know their progression instead of, like a lot of the religions and what have you, just sort of out there. They point to heaven and the sky, but where is it? You know, where is it specifically? We talk about the specificity of the different dimensional planes that we've previously discussed. So that means we're more specific than other teachings because that's what it's supposed to be, but simple too at the same time. It's not a lot of complexity. When we talk about one can experience sound current, that's not complex at all. It's rather simple. And then if you cannot hear it, I highly recommend that you go to a quiet place. It may be the forest, or we call it the big four, the desert, seashore, or the mountains. And you go to that, a remote area, if you will, even a remote area at one's home, and go to a quiet place and listen for that high electrical pitch. You might surprise yourself when you hear it. And it's usually a state of ecstasy that one will get through that wonderful experience in soul. So I guess we're getting down to like last 4 minutes or so. Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes left. I would like to mention, Sri Kadavchi, that we're still having an ongoing series of talks that Sri Kadavchi is giving at the Philadelphia Central Library. And the next upcoming one is Tuesday, September 13th at 6:30 p.m. And, of course, as I mentioned before, everything is free, no charge. And Sri Kadavchi will be speaking about attaining spiritual mastery, attaining spiritual liberation, I believe is how it's titled. So this is a great opportunity to meet Sri Kadavchi because he does not do talk that often. So please, if you're in the Philadelphia area on September 13th, you're welcome. And the library, which is a very ornate Greco-Roman building on the corner of Vine and Callow Hill, I believe. Not Callow, Vine and Pennsylvania. I'm not sure what the cross street is, but the address exactly is 1901 Vine Street, and that's in Philadelphia. It's being held in room 108 at the Philadelphia Central Library. You can see the information on our website. It lists all the upcoming talks from now through November. So feel free to take a look at the website. And as I said before, there's no charge for the talk. And we do welcome you there. There'll be both people that have been on the path for a long time. There'll be some of the Akita masters will be there, as well as all newcomers are completely welcome to attend the talk as well. And we will, and Sri Kadavchi will be giving a talk, and at the end there'll be a question and answer session. So it'll be a great opportunity to talk with him directly. So I do welcome everyone to take advantage of that. And so as well, you know, take a look at the website, download any of the information. If you want to find out more about Akita, you'll see the introductory book and some of the other materials, audios with Sri Kadavchi. There are many things that are available if you're interested in what you can do to enhance your spiritual unfoldment. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone for being with us this evening, especially thank you, Sri Kadavchi, for all the wonderful and fine words of wisdom that you've given us. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to say farewell for the evening.
Thank you, Leslie. Raising the right hand, palm face out, Living Sroshtra Master will say, I am always with you. May the blessings be, Baraka Bashat.